You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Thursday, the 16th of May. I'm Charlie. In national news, the 2024 budget has revealed that $153 million worth of funding will be allocated to restarting charter schools in New Zealand, RNZ reports. The coalition government has announced that up to 50 new or converted charter schools will be publicly funded from the 2024 budget. $153 million have been set aside to fund these new publicly funded private schools over the next 4 years. This money will see the establishment of 50 new charter schools and 35 state schools converting to charter schools by 2026. Associate Education Minister David Seymour has stated that there was overwhelming interest from educators exploring the charter school model. Seymour says, "We've heard from potential applicants, such as St Stephen's, Mouldy Boys Boarding School and AGE School." Seymour sets out some of the main positives of charter schools, that they can set their own curriculum hours and the days they operate, and they have more flexibility in how they spend their funding as long as they can reach their performance goals. When speaking to the media on Tuesday, Seymour said, quote, "The idea that there is a no-holds-bar curriculum is not a fair assessment of what charter schools will be," unquote. He also stated that state schools that were not performing to their standard could possibly be converted into charter schools. According to RNZ, charter schools will have full autonomy when it comes to following new policies, such as the cell phone ban. On this topic, Seymour stated, quote, "They will not be forced to do things such as the cell phone ban, but if you look at a school like this, you don't see any cell phones, and I expect that by and large they will operate the same way," unquote. Seymour also revealed that a new department agency, which will be independent of the Ministry of Education, will be created to monitor the performance of charter schools. An application process for the prospective charter schools will open once the legislation has been passed in Parliament. The coalition government is hopeful the first charter contracts will be signed before the end of the year, meaning the first schools could open as soon as Term 1, 2025. The Suicide Prevention Office will continue. However, it will most likely have no full-time staff that could also face increased scrutiny to ensure it's doing its job, RNZ reports. Last month, the Public Service Association proposed to cut staff at the Ministry of Health, meaning the Suicide Prevention Office would close. Mental Health Minister Matt Ducey responded by saying that his office would not close. A new plan has been devised that involves staff already employed by the Ministry of Health to contribute time from their existing roles to suicide prevention work. According to RNZ, this would mean that about a dozen staff would spend 25% of their role on suicide prevention, and there would no longer be anyone working full-time in the new structure. Ducey says that he has been reassured by the ministry that this new approach would deliver, quote, better outcomes. This decision comes after last year's stock take of the Suicide Prevention Office work by the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, which found there had been mixed results on the implementation of the Suicide Prevention Strategy and Action Plan. The stock take concluded that there needed to be, quote, more visible leadership on suicide prevention. Ducey told RNZ that he agreed with these findings, saying, "I've actually shared that concern around the leadership of the Suicide Prevention Office. I don't mean that it's specific around anyone personally. I just think in the office, at times, it was very unclear the role of the office and, more importantly, the expectations and what it was trying to achieve," end quote. Ingrid Leary, Labour's mental health spokesperson, has questioned whether the Suicide Prevention Office was actually staying open if there would be no one working full-time for it, saying, "How would a suicide prevention office remain open when the director role is proposed to be de-established? When those working part-time on suicide will instead report to a group manager who leads other work streams." Mental Health Foundation Chief Executive Sean Robinson has shared similar concerns on this restructure. Quote, "That is a risky approach. As the minister was saying, it needs really strong leadership," unquote. In response, Robin Shearer from the Ministry of Health said that no final decisions have been made yet, and a formal employment process is still occurring. Ducey has also suggested that the office and the Suicide Prevention Action Plan could become subject to scrutiny by the newly formed Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. The commission's role would be considered part of a review of the action plan. Leary worried the lack of leadership in suicide prevention would not be resolved by giving the commission greater oversight. Dunedin Hospital junior doctors took to the streets this morning to protest a growing need for public health in the healthcare sector. 9 protesters were spotted on the corner of Hanover Street and Great King Street this morning, protesting potential pay cuts within the healthcare system. Protesters were seen holding signs that said things like "train to retain" and "reduce to clear docs." They also chanted, "We need public help." Junior doctors across the country are undergoing a two-day strike that started at 7 a.m. today, RNZ reports. This is the first time in 2 weeks that junior doctors have striked. Last Tuesday, half of the country's junior doctors walked off the job for a 24-hour strike. Hundreds of surgeries and appointments across Aotearoa have been cancelled as a result of today's strike. Speaking to RNZ, Te Whatu Ora's Chief People Officer, Andrew Slater, has said if you have an appointment in the healthcare system over the coming days to come in if you've not been contacted otherwise. Emergency departments remain open. In Orthopoti News, Pint Night was cancelled last night. This comes after Pint Night and all other U-Bar events have been temporarily removed to Orahi Ora, starting last Wednesday. Last week, Pint Night ran successfully in the new space. However, in a message posted on U-Bar's socials yesterday, they notified students that Pint Night has been cancelled, the reasoning being that U-Bar is still undergoing urgent maintenance and they were unable to move this event to Orahi Ora due to prior bookings. Caribou, Audiovisual Dropkicks, Leo Lilly, Bunchy's Big Score were slated to play. Fortunately for fans of these bands, U-Bar are working to make the same lineup happen next Thursday. The bar is currently closed for maintenance work and acoustic improvement, says U-Bar. Musician is in Otupoti tonight to launch issue 3 of their magazine. The yearly publication captures the Aotearoa music scene in interviews, photography, essays and more. The magazine was created by Otupoti by Flynn Robson, Rosa Neverson and Sam Elliott, who were students at the time. Inspired by their own interests and experiences in the gig scene, the first Musician went to print in 2021. Issue 3 of Musician launched in Tamaki Makaurau in mid-April, where Flynn and Rosa are now based. They've made the trek down to the old stomping grounds for a Dunedin launch of the magazine at Pearl Diver tonight, kicking off at 6 p.m, with performances from Dan Garris and Pearly, and they'll have copies of Issue 2 and 3 for sale. At 1:30, we have Flynn and Rosa in to talk about Musician and the launch party tonight. This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Thursday, the 6th of May. Today's bulletin was written by Charlie Cunningham and Jemima Lorimer and read to you by Charlie Cunningham.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
And up next for you, we have the Today version of Benny's Soaked. Welcome back to R1 News at 1. We now have Rosa and Flynn of Musician to talk to us about the Dunedin launch of their third issue of their magazine. So thank you for coming in, guys. Did you just want to give us a brief introduction of who you are and what you do?
Hi, yeah, I'm Flynn. I am one of the co-editors and co-producers of Musician magazine.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I'm Rosa, and I'm also a co-editor and the designer of Musician. And we're missing our third co-editor, Sam Elliott, but he's also part of the crew.
So could you guys just start out by just taking me on a bit of a journey of how this magazine started and how it, if at all, has changed over the time and course?
Well, Sam and I used to be on Radio 1, and then we actually moved to RDU in Christchurch, and during that period of time, we were living together in a flat, and I just kind of proposed to him a name of a magazine that didn't exist, and he said we should make a music mag. And about 15 minutes later, we realised neither of us had any skills involved with making a music mag. So we called up Rosa, who was based in Dunedin, and has been working down here at Blue Oyster. And yeah, so over the last 2 years, 2.5 years, we've been creating physical issues of magazines. So this is our third issue, but also doing online features and creating playlists and doing general music community stuff.
Yeah, we just thought that there was kind of like a gap in the New Zealand music journalism, music media kind of landscape. And yeah, I mean, it was a fun project that we wanted to do for ourselves, but we also thought that other people might enjoy it as well.
Would you guys be able to tell us what's in issue 3 and if there was like a specific story that either of you particularly enjoyed working on or resonated with?
Yeah, so we have a range of stuff in issue 3. So we have interviews with artists, which is some really cool stuff. I personally did an interview with Polly Hill and Samara Alofa, Eden Burns, Christopher Tubbs, and Ernie Bell. So those are my interviews, but we also had interviews with other artists. Rosa did Crystal Chen, who's a photographer and musician, and we also had comics from Abe Hunter from Battle Mag, and we had contributions from Sam, and then Jemima Lorimer did a piece on Pickled Darling, and we've had some awesome bits and bobs from other people across the mall too, which has been super awesome. But yeah, I was personally really pretty stoked to be able to interview Samara Lofa and Polly Hill for this issue.
Yeah, it was a really cool issue for us. I mean, all of them have been amazing, but I think this time we sort of just kind of shot our shots and tried to get like some artists that we were just like, obviously we're all like love all the artists that we've featured, but we're like, oh, you know, we'll just see what we can do. But yeah, as well as Crystal Chen, I also had a chat with Lucy Pollock and Madison Kelly, who Madison's still here, but Lucy's in Wellington now. But yeah, kind of talking about the Dunedin music scene and stuff. So that's obviously pretty special and close to my heart and all of our hearts. So yeah.
Just like going on from how like Dunedin, the music scene, is like close to your heart. Like, could you just give us some insight as to why it's so important for you guys to have a launch for this issue here in Dunedin?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually been living in, well, all of us lived in Dunedin. Flynn and Sam studied here and then moved to Christchurch after that. But then I've been living here for like 6 years and just moved up to Auckland just a few months ago. So almost the entire time that we've been running this magazine, I've been living here. So yeah, it just felt like a really nice opportunity to come and celebrate here. And we also have quite a few contributors down here. So it's really, yeah, it's so super nice and important and like love Dunedin. So yeah, it's nice to come back and see everyone and yeah, really celebrate.
Sam and I, our musical journeys kind of started in Dunedin, and especially with Radio 1 as being like a place where we actually got introduced to the music community rather than just as people who consume music. So Sam started his band down here, which is in Jam Henderson, and just a lot of ties for us all started. We all met together.
That's where we became friends as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, special place.
Yeah, that's really cool. Did you guys want to tell us a bit more about your launch tonight and like where people can find you and all of the above?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we're having a issue 3 launch at Pearl Diver, which is a pretty new bar and venue on St. Andrew Street, kind of across the road from Relics, if you're not familiar. And yeah, we'll be sort of hanging out there from 6 till 10. We have a couple musical acts. We've got Dan Jarris and also a kind of like pearly duo set, which will be great. And yeah, we'll have the physical magazines for sale as well. But, you know, we're happy to just kind of like chat about the magazine, come see the music. Yeah, you know, we'll be hanging out.
Well, thank you guys very much for coming in. It's very exciting. And just a reminder to come to Pearl Diver tonight. The launch starts at 6 p.m. Thank you. And up next for you, we have a song from Soulfide called Ruby. Hope you all have an amazing afternoon.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.